Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lamo. Welcome to the Kadampa Center. Kirshilo is going to be a little late, so we're going to go ahead and start the program and dismiss the children to go to their class, and then Donna is going to do something special for us. So let's start by going to page 34 in the Gold Prayer Book. If you don't have the Gold Prayer Book, but you have a white binder, just go to the page that says Kadampa Center Prayers. And we'll start by reciting the Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Now for the Medicine Buddha stanza and mantra. If you have the white binder, please look at the blue sheet. And then while we're reciting the stanza, please think of all the people on the prayer list, people whose names have been given to you, people in your family and so forth who are having difficulties. Bhagawan, with equal compassion for all, whose name, when merely heard, dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, lapis light. So let's say the mantra seven times. We'll just read it. Teata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raza samugate soha. Teata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raza samugate soha. Teata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raza samugate soha. Teata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raza samugate soha. Teata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raza samugate soha. Teata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raja samugate soha. Teata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, raja samugate soha. And now the four measurables in English right below that, three times. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now if you turn the page to 37, in the bottom of the page you see Chenrezig's mantra. So let's say that eight times, and he's the Buddha of great compassion. And then Green Tara's mantra seven times, and she's the deity of night and activity. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Okay, so if you could go back to page 34, and let's read the Taking Refuge and Generating Bodhicitta prayer three times. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. Okay, the children are welcome to go to their classes. Thank you.
So Kesho's going to be a little bit late this morning, and he asked us to go ahead and start again with a discussion on how to counteract self-hatred. And I'm going to start with just a couple of pages out of this book, A Fearless Heart. This book was written by Thubten Jinpa, who is frequently His Holiness's translator when he's in the West, particularly in North America. He's also a professor of Buddhism, and when he was at Stanford a few years ago as a visiting scholar, and he worked with people there who work in psychology and those kind of sciences, and developed a whole program on cultivating compassion. So this book grew out of that work that they did. And, of course, out of Dharma. So I'm just going to read a little bit, and then we can just start sharing our thoughts about countering self-hatred. We gravitate toward other people's kindness, and when we let ourselves, we can instinctively respond to others' needs with compassion. This intertwining susceptibility of self and others lies at the heart of our humanness. Given this reality, we might assume that self-compassion, being caring and kind toward ourselves, must be as natural as breathing, something we can all do without learning it or even thinking about it. Actually, the situation turns out to be more complicated, especially in today's highly competitive society. Contemporary culture makes it hard for many of us to have compassion for ourselves. And yet, according to a steady stream of evidence emerging from scientific studies, so much seems to hang on our ability to do just that. From anxiety disorders to burnout at work, from relationship troubles to motivation and couch potato problems, our self-compassion, or lack thereof, makes a big difference. When we lack self-compassion, we are less self-accepting, less self-tolerant, and less kind to ourselves. These deficiencies manifest in many unhelpful ways in our own lives and in our interactions with others, especially the people we love. Self-compassion is every bit as critical to our happiness as our compassion for others, if not more. Yet for many people, it feels as alien and uncomfortable as walking on their hands. Let's see. Truly self-compassionate people take care of themselves while being attentive to the feelings and needs of those around them. In fact, the mental and physical health that comes from being kind to ourselves enables us to take better care of other people. When we are self-centered, on the other hand, we are so caught up in our own world that we don't have room for anyone else. Self-compassion should not be confused with self-pity either. In self-pity, we get caught up in our own problems, and feeling sorry for ourselves, we become oblivious to the world around us. Self-pity is a form of self-absorption, whereas self-compassion allows us to see our difficulties within the larger context of shared human experience. Because of its narrow zoom lens vision, self-pity tends to blow up our situation so that even a small problem appears overwhelming and unbearable. In contrast, self-compassion affords a sense of proportion that helps us deal with our predicaments and suffering in more constructive ways. So let's just open up for some discussion and see if anyone has anything to add. And Geshe-la will join us when he gets here. Anything to contribute to how to counter self-hatred and develop self-compassion?
Well, I'll just only say something that my aunt used to say to me. She used to say to me, Brenda, anybody can say anything bad about you. Anybody can think anything bad about you. Except you. And I think that that is really important. When we start thinking bad things about us, not only do we hurt us, but we hurt others as well. And I think that one thing that happens today in our societies is that although there is a, there's some kind of a selfishness that happens in the way we behave on a daily basis, we also expect to do for others, to be there for others first, as opposed to us first. But there has to be, in my opinion, a balance between our love to us and love to others. How can we love others if we don't love us?
Okay. Okay, so I like what you said, and I also, it hits this thought I had, I was reading, that what we do for ourselves, we are truly doing for some other, for others as well, and what we do for others, we're doing for ourselves. And I've been looking for a way to understand what emptiness is, and I read something, and it comes from the Sufi tradition, about how before we have memories or thoughts or any kind of human association, when we're first born, that's emptiness, because it's really just existence, being, timelessness, pure love or pure energy. And I think that self-hatred is such a hard thing. I don't even like the word. But I think I can relate to it in the when I don't feel like enough or when I don't feel good or, you know, some lack. And I think what's helpful for me is that I don't have to develop anything new. I just have to get the stuff that's grown around the emptiness out of the way, the fear, and all the things you tell yourself that are fear-based, and just basically remember that essence. Remember that that's really all we're trying to do is just drop off the stuff. And meditation helps because it just lets you see the stuff, befriend the stuff, and let the stuff move on, and you don't get caught in the stuff anymore. But that really, that essential part of us is already there. We're just in a process of remembering. And that helps me with the icky.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to add, I work in psychiatry, and you know, I agree with what you guys just said. And then I also wanted to add that physical pain in the body takes away from self-love, so it's good to, you know, get care, you know, to get physical pain out. And then sometimes there's, like, this deep emotional pain, and that's why, like, as much as people want to love themselves and everything, but they can't figure out what the pain is, it's, like, kind of hard to get there. So just, like, loving ourselves by getting our pain treated, like, to the, like, to make it actually less. Sometimes that's what it's about, so.
Good morning. Some of what I'm about to say I've said before, but it really is heavy on my mind. And I'm going to start off by saying that most of my life I've had extremely sharp peaks and valleys in my existence. And as I've gotten older, those peaks and valleys have started to round off a little bit. Well, since this past August, I've been going through a medical situation that has required me to really become more in tune with myself, to learn more about myself. And not that I haven't done this before, but now it's more defined, it's more intense. And I'm still growing in the process. I still feel like I have a ways to go, but the more I learn about myself and the more I act upon the things that I'm able to do, the more rounded my life becomes. I feel more secure, more content with myself now than I did years ago. And so I think learning about ourselves, learning what we're able to do, and learning about our weaknesses, being objective about these things, and then working on ways to use our strengths to overcome our weaknesses. As we do that, we become, I believe, we become more in tune with who we truly are and less likely to have that sense of self-hate and all the other things that go along with it. And then as we progress in our lives and we can generate that positiveness, projecting it towards the aid of others, and that also helps us to build upon our qualities and to become more of who we truly are. And this journey is different for each person, I'm sure, but nevertheless, I think it's important to have a better understanding of ourselves and not focus on one thing, whether it's good or bad, to the point of it overriding everything else. I think we need to become more well-rounded in our understanding of ourselves. Thank you.
we were discussing self-hatred.
Good morning.
Okay. One thing that seems counterintuitive when I listen to Pema Chodron, and she says this whole process is not about getting rid of parts of us, which kind of doesn't sound right. It sounds, I'm thinking, I need to get rid of this and this, and then I'll be a good person. And I think it makes me realize there are certain things that we probably all uniquely struggle with ourselves, and it's our job not to try and necessarily get rid of those, but accept that they're there and try and work with them. And there are going to be people in our lives that are going to find certain things intolerable or certain characteristics that are about us, and I think sometimes that's very hard to accept when we get feedback. I mean, sometimes it's very valuable feedback, but sometimes when we don't feel accepted, then it kind of comes back on us, and then we don't accept ourselves. And so sometimes you have to say, I'm working on this, and I'm going to keep working on it, and accept that it's there, but don't try to necessarily get rid of it, because that's really the ground right there. That's the ground for practice. And I just think there's a lot of benefit and wisdom from that. So,
good morning. I'm reminded of a retreat that we had many, many years ago and a meditation that we did there about self-compassion. We're all really, really good about being compassionate toward others. It actually comes quite naturally probably to everybody in this room. But we're not very good about self-compassion. And so there was a meditation that we did where you imagine yourself in kind of that safe place sitting, and I'll just walk you through mine real quick, but I had this place when I was a child that I used to go out in this park that had a stream by it. And so you imagine yourself in the safe place, and then imagine yourself rising above and looking down at that person. So you're kind of thinking about yourself in third person. And as you're looking down at that person, feel compassion for that person down there because of all of the things that they've been through, all the struggles that they've had, all the problems and issues that they've had. And it's easy to generate self-compassion when you're looking at that third person down there. It's an interesting practice, interesting meditation. I can tell you about it in more detail. I think, Donna, you did that out at Nolan's too. So if anybody's interested in learning that one, for me, it was quite groundbreaking to understand self-compassion and to think of myself in a third person so I could actually generate that self-compassion in an easier way without it feeling like self-cherishing. So it's a really good practice that I just remember very strongly.
Oh, yeah. So, well, thank you for discussion. Thank you. So, did you introduce each other?
No.
Oh, yeah. Maybe then after that, you know, we'll start class. So,
So,
Thank you. Thank you for wonderful conversations. Yeah. number of questions here. I'll read some of them. Before that, I think that every problem, every problem that we experience, every problem, so, yeah, of course, life is not perfect. Life is not perfect. My life sin, your life sin, not perfect, no. life comes with the problems, so sorry to say, but that's the truth. Sorry to say, that's the truth. Life comes with the problems, so. So the body comes with the problems, you know. So, it's very interesting. If you get younger, 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 there's another problems. If somebody give you choice, oh, now you're going to, do you want to become baby? What do? You choose to become baby? Either way, no problems. No life, so aging, death, sicknesses, all that, it's like, so need to be practical, need to understand our existence, comes with, complications. So, and from Buddhist point of view, what it calls samsara. Samsara, that is what it means, like very much influenced by, action and thought, our life. Very much influenced by our action and thought. Not just our action, also, people around. Like the wild wave. Wild wave. Wild vapor. Leather limon balloon tattoo too. So Dungal Sum, there there are three types of complications. problems. So I think every problem, whether it's like self hatred or like, any kind of problem, so we need to look at that as like from the Four Noble Truth point of view. Four Noble Truth. You understand Four Noble Truth? Yeah. first need to recognize. To gain the deeper understanding of the problems, deeper understanding of the problem. What is the problems? The nature of problems. So that's very important. That's the first step towards freedom. Freedom, or you could say liberation. So it's very important to look at every problem, to look at that problem from the Four Noble Truths point of view. First, have to understand the true nature of problem. What is problem? So, then, of course, the cause of the problem. So, what is cause? So then need to look at, need to look for the method to how to deal with that, or maybe overcome, deal with that. So then last, the third part of the liberation, last, or freedom, the last, well, I just want to say this. So if you can look at, if we can look at every problem, if we can look at that from the understanding of Four Noble Truths, if we can look at, if we can see the problems, the base on the knowledge, deeper knowledge of Four Noble Truths, maybe, every problem do have solutions, solutions. Every problem has end, Every problem has end. So every problem has chocolate chip cookies. In the end, every problem doesn't begin with chocolate chip cookies, but could end with the chocolate chip cookies in the end. So, see? So the point is that we have to understand that every problem has beginning, then must have end. Must have end. You should not think, oh, there's no end. That's not true. There is end. Huh? So the end. There's a result. Huh? So therefore, you know, the meditations, you know, is important, you know, especially in the, like, so in the West, you know, meditation become quite famous. So people need to understand the purpose or point of meditation. It's not just sit down like chicken. So it's not just like sit down like chicken, you know, like, or maybe squirrels on the, trees, you know. And it's just called sitting. It's just called sitting, you know, just you're sitting there. It's just called sitting. That's how you sit when you meditate. It's just sitting, you know. Meditation is something that's happening inside, deep inside, within your thoughts. Within your thoughts. You know? Something is happening, you know, within your thought. Something very powerful. That's how you liberate. That's how you free yourself from all the problems, you know. That's how you get enlightened. That's how you achieve moksha, you know, liberation. So. There's something happening within deep inside, something by thinking. For example, there you have this beautiful piece of glass or mug. You are so attached to that. And so that you need some preparations. You need to prepare yourself. You know, like when you lose, when the glass breaks, what do you do? How we react? So in that case, understanding impermanent. You know, everything changing. That's also important. You know, there is no one answer. There can be one answer for one particular problem, but samsara as a whole, there's no one answer. We need so many different tools to deal with, you know. It's big complication. There's so many different tools. Milarepa. You heard about Milarepa? Milarepa? That's Tibetan hippies. Tibetan hippies. I think it's Tibetan hippies, yeah. I remember seeing hippies when I was 13, 14, back in the monastery. So hippie from America, LA, hippie from New Zealand, they come to monastery hang out, I don't know why. There's nothing much happening in the monastery, so I'm not sure why doing that. So we little monks, we enjoyed them, you know. They are so peaceful. So they have guitar, long hair, you know, so kind of sometimes smiles, you know, smiles, sometimes smells too, both together. You see, they experience the calmness within themselves. So I think Milarepa, are we recording? Yeah, so it's okay if you record, it's okay. Maybe if some Tibetan people see that, they may, you know, probably criticize me, saying that Milarepa is Tibetan hippies. I don't mind. So, no matter what you do, people say anything. Anyway, people say something. So, Milarepa, you know, like great practitioners, you know, like, when you look at, if you see Milarepa, he's like in the form of beggar. You know, he's not something very clean and looks like, kind of like, he doesn't look like a businessman. He looks like very normal person. So, Milarepa, he moves from mountain to mountain in the wilderness to meditate, you know, to liberate himself from all the complications, you know, all from samsara. So he has like one bowl made out of like clay. That's the only thing he possesses, nothing else. So one day, you know, he's going down to the creek so to get some water, you know, to make pavas, and he eats this like nettle. He cooks them and he eats the nettle. So they probably go down to the creek. It's kind of rainy day. Went down to the creek, cut his slip. Oh, he fall, not sleep. He fall down. And lose the control over the clay pot. And clay pot probably hit it on the, that is a ledge on one stone that kind of broke. So, what would you say if that happened? What would you say? What would I say? So Milarepa said, that thata yajan thata mes. It's right here, that means clay pot. It's right here, it's gone. That's what he said, it's gone. That is the nature of impermanence. His story is intertwined there with the lessons. If that happened to us, like how long the story goes on, how many times it repeats, so because we don't understand the nature of impermanence. That does cause so much problems. That cause many problems. So that's also, you know, one of the important tools to have. So now here, meditations. So with my friend here, what I would like to share with you is meditation, the purpose of meditations. Why meditation is important, you know, so why is meditation important? The purpose or power, the power or purpose of meditation is to free yourself from disturbing thought. Liberate from disturbing thought. That's the last thing that we need, disturbing thought. Whenever disturbing thought arises, there will be no happiness, mental happiness. So that's the most important things. Mental happiness is the most important things. Whatever you call healthy mind, whatever level you put on there, basically it's like positive mindset. All the time it's very important, especially when we encounter some problems. It's so important, very critical, you know, but it's not that easy to develop. So therefore, meditation means, you know, making ourselves familiar with something that's not been familiar. So my mind is not very familiar with impermanence, therefore, you know, I don't want, like, to, when I see change, I kind of like, how you say in American English, how you say, freak out? Freak out. Yeah, freak out. That's how you say it in American English. Yes, yeah, freak out. So with that understanding, you know. So just enjoy, don't count on all your happiness. Don't count on that. That will change. You can't stop to change. There's a nature. It's change, you know. Can't stop. Change. If you try to stop, then you are going against the reality. You are not going to win. Going against the reality. That's the nature. Change. The very cause will disintegrate. Understand? The very cause that produces is not going to wait for some other cause to disintegrate. The very cause that produces, that cause will disintegrate. Whatever the object might be. That's the nature of things. It's nature of things. It's nothing to do with the religious belief. It's just nature of things. Very, very important to have that deeper understanding. Whatever we enjoy, whether it's like shape, color, whether it's like sound, smell, taste, tactile. So, you know, five objects, five desires, five, but like five object of desire. Desire? Desire has five objects. Everything that we desire, including those five things. Form, shape, no, that's one. Sound, smell, taste, chatter, that's all. There's nothing beyond that. There's nothing beyond that we kind of draw pleasures. Oh. So is there something that beyond that, that we draw pleasures? That is the mental happiness. That's pretty much physical. Physical doesn't mean body. There's no five sensory pleasure. There's no like produced by five senses. It's called physical. It's just temporary. It's just temporary. It decreases. It never increases. It decreases. It never increases. But beyond that, you know, if you can manage to produce some happiness by thinking, so that could increase. That could increase. That's called mental happiness. So, what do you do? The first thing, what you do, you try to minimize or subdue or reduce disturbing thought. How? Through meditation. So, so that's very important. All my friends here, very important. You know. So, don't just think now meditation is some kind of like new fashion. New fashion? How is it? Fashion? Fashion. Fashion. Yeah, new fashion. Yeah. New fashion. Don't think like this, new fashion. No, there's no new fashion. It's old fashioned. Meditation is very, very old fashioned. It's been there thousands of years ago. No, it's not something new. It might be something new in the West, but no, it's not new. It's been there a long, long, long time. So, to keep your mind calm, peaceful, what do you do? You concentrate. You focus. You concentrate. You focus. Not saying that you become Buddhist. Not saying that. Doesn't guarantee. Becoming Buddhist doesn't guarantee your mind is going to be calm and peaceful. Doesn't guarantee. Same becoming Christian doesn't guarantee makes your mind calm and peace. If you focus, if you concentrate, that guarantees your mind will become calm and peaceful, no matter who does it. Buddhist, non-Buddhist, believer, non-believer, no matter who does, you know, single-pointed meditations, they get benefit. Someday, because what happens, because you're trying to pull all your mental attention or energy into one object. That's how mind gets calm. Mind doesn't get calm that going to 100 different objects. That's not how mind gets calm. No? Keep doing 100 different things, you think that's calm? It drives you crazy. same thing. The mind does that, you know? So here what we are talking about how to make your mind calm and peaceful according to, you know, meditation, you know, instructions. I'm not saying that you should not think 100 different things. I'm not saying that. But according to single-pointed meditations, you know, thinking 100 different things is become obstacles. Obstacles? So what do? You, you know, concentrate. So the technique they use, you know, they count their breath, breath. Oh, they count their breath. Not breath, breath, breath. Breath. Oh yeah. My pronunciation is still not good, you know, breath. So you try to count your breath, you know, out, in, one. Out, in, there's two. Out, in, there's four. Otherwise, you know, happiness does not come without, how you say, effort. It does require effort. You know? You have to do something to feel good. Can't just feel good, you know, for nothing. You know? So then as a Buddhist monk, you know, it's a daily practice. It's very important, daily practice. Every day you do some practice, and the end, then you feel like that you know, you did something bigger than your life. the purpose of your life, you know, is like it's bigger. So then it's worth to living, or breathing. It's worth to living and breathing. So anyway, meditation is gom top, meditation top power, nimong afflicted mind, chua less afflicted mind. Life is going to be better off. Whether you're believing something, not believing something, whether you're Buddhist, not Buddhist, doesn't matter. Your life is going to be much, much better off if you manage to minimize your disturbing thought. How you do, when you get angry, what do? You think about patience. You read about patience, how to practice patience, how to make your mind familiar with the patience, a benefit of patience. You need to focus on the downside of anger. That's how you liberate from angry mind. Same like jealousy, you know. So you need to understand what's the jealousy, what's the nature of jealousy, and try to stop that. You know, so what's the downside of jealousy, and what is the benefit of, you know, not having jealousies? So that's how you, you know, meditate. That's how you meditate. First, you need to understand. Fear, same. Fear, you know. Fear, you know, like something in the future, fear of, you know, all kinds of fears, anxiety, all of that, attachments. First you need to study. What is attachment? What is anxiety? What is, you know, fear? You need to study them. So, as I said before, Four Noble Truths, you know, applies every single problem. Four Noble Truths practice applies to every single problem. So you look at them from the Four Noble Truths point of view. So then, that's end. The seed, seed has no beginning. You know it's begin. Do you know the seed has beginning? But if you burn, that's finished, it's end. That's the end of the seed. Seed, if you burn, it's over now, it's over. That's the ability to produce something is gone. So, every disturbing thought has end. Because it's begin. It began based on the cause and condition. It's begin. Disturbing thought began, you know, so I very much like to have my prayer really here, and somebody put it here. So all my happiness is gone. Like that. So doesn't matter, it's here, it's there, you know, you just made it up. So, you know, so we are so uptight with certain ideas, certain rules, and, you know, driving us crazy, but we're not knowing them. So the meditation, so, you know, gomdom nimochuma, less afflicted mind, a disturbing thought. That is the purpose or power of meditation, okay? So, so now, you know, so back to that, you know, like discussion that you have about self-hatred. So now probably, you know, it's good to talk, to think about, you know, so Domus, we have this book called Fearless, yeah, so I found that's a very good definition. You know. So in Buddhism, you know, according to Buddhist philosophy, the way I study in the monastery, so every mind has definition. That's how we identify. When you talk about compassion, based on the definition of compassion, that's how have discussions. So this is books composed by one of the His Holiness, you know, interpreter. He's well educated in the Buddhist philosophy, so he speaks fluent English. So I've been reading this little bit, so Jonas bought this. So I always want to explain the definition of bodhicitta, but, you know, with my, like, working English, it's very hard. Please check, maybe 1 minute, okay? Somewhere here. So here, so that's exactly what I want to say, you know, so, but I couldn't say in my broken English. If I say in Tibetan, it doesn't help. So what you're saying, like, compassion is a sense. Compassion is a sense. Sense. So I really want to get this out here so to you to understand how we, what is the definition of compassion in Tibetan. So then based on that, talk about self-compassion, compassions. So then, you know, maybe there's a way to help someone who's experiencing self-hatred, you know. So besides, you know, just saying, of course I say prayer all the time, and I dedicated that for well-being of all the people who come to Kadamba Center, but that's not good enough. No, that's not good enough. So I need to do some practice. Mm. So compassion is a sense of concern that rise when we are confronted with another's sufferings. That's how we say it in Tibetan. Oh, that's the definition of compassion. So, confronted with another's sufferings and feel motivated to see that suffering relief. So that is the definition of compassion, you know. So that's the definition. So that means the object, that refers to the object. Object, you know, object confronted another suffering, that's the object. Meekness, so then seeing that. Feel motivated to see that suffering is relief. That's how you understood compassion in the West? Huh? Oh, very good. So then we have some definitions. So, it's very interesting. So now what do you think? Is there a difference between self-compassion and compassion? Now, based on that, that's why I said it. From my point of view, I could be wrong. From my point of view, there's no difference between self-compassion and compassion. I think it's the same. Because you are the one who is meditating on compassion, then you get benefit. So now, based on that definition, I have, you know, something to, how you say, I'm not just saying this, you know, that's what I like. No, it's not about that's what I like or what I don't like. That's based on the definition of compassion. So when you look at the books, you'll find exact same thing. So now based on that, you know, what do you think? Is there a difference between self-compassion and compassion? Would you like to say something? Anybody want to say something? It's not a quiz. So now, if not, then how about now? Yeah, of course. Don't think of Buddhism, they always talk about, you know, taking care of other people, all mother sentient beings. That's not true. That's called Mahayana practice. Mahayana practice, they do talk about your happiness begin with the,
happiness begins when you cherish others.
Yeah, happiness begins when you cherish others. That's Mahayana teaching, Mahayana Buddhism. So, then when you look at the Lamrim, there's a book. Lamrim, there's a stage of the path. When you look at the book, that book leads you to step to step. That book is totally designed to someone who's seeking full enlightenment. That book is designed for that. Kind of like a roadmap to how to achieve full enlightenment. So back, you know, even the Shantideva said, you know, you even never dream, you even never dreams liberating yourself from the problems, how you can, you know, like, practically liberating others from the problems. So that clearly indicates, of course, first you have to take care of yourself. Taking care of yourself is already there. You know, it's already in Buddhism, you know, like what you call, like small scope. It's already there, you know, it's already there. Oh, Rangi Tundur Tindes, Melam Tuyo Mamina, Shindukai. First, you know, even not having a dreams, freeing yourself from problem, how is possible to liberating all other beings from the problems? That's not going to happen. Oh. So taking care of yourself is already there. Oh. So, you know, I've been talking here now last 19 years. Oh, it's been here a long time, 19 years. So, there's somebody just talking about life like that, you know. So each and every one of us, we have responsibility for our own happiness. Oh. You can send positive thought through prayer, I can send positive thought through prayer, but you know, each one of us, we are responsible for our own happiness. Oh. So it's very important, you know, so every day, some form of meditation, oh, it's very important. So, otherwise, I don't know what to say, you know, like, of course, if the happiness, I'm not saying that I have a lot of happiness, and I don't have happiness, oh, but I'm trying, every day I'm trying, you know, trying to see this life that the life that I have is like, I'm trying to see there's a boat. And I'm also trying to remind myself it's time to sail, not to sail for money. I said, am I pronouncing correctly? Yeah, okay. So sometimes, you know, people are very polite here. Even I make mistake, they don't never say, oh, you have mistake. They never say that. And sometimes I hear, you know, so people say, oh, I don't understand him, so I don't blame you, so my pronunciation is not good. only word I can pronounce correctly is like downtown Raleigh. So downtown Raleigh. Sounds American?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what Dr. Brown told me. He said, don't say downtown, nobody understands it. Downtown. So, like I say, every day I try to remind myself, you know, rely on Shantideva text, you know, what he says about life. So trying to remind myself, you know, sometimes repeating the word, human. I'm quoting from Shantideva books. The book has been written around 7th centuries. One of the Indian masters called Shantideva wrote that book, beautiful book. Try to, you know, memorize that, you know, a little bit of word, love, some word here, some word there, try to memorize and help myself. Me too, Latinis, me too, me, human, too, both. Dunga chuochiletos, dungao, problems. It's considered as like creek, a lake or creek or lake. You know, that's because the problem is like that. Vast and big, dunga, chuo, creek or lake. Dunga chuochiletos, me, Latinis. Relying on this human life that we have. You have, I have, same. Not different, same. No. Bottom line, same. Artificial level, American, Tibetan, you know, that's all the minor difference. Bottom line, same. me too. Human, me, human, true, both. Me too, Latin in this, you know, relying on that both. It's not that, it's this. When you talk about yourself, it's this, it's not that, it's this. It's not out there, it's here, it's right here. Me too, Latin. Don't watch you watch it. You will cross the ocean or maybe lake or creek, whatever you call a province. Don't watch what you know. To the city near Gavis, this boat is not easy to find. There'll be another boat. Probably there'll be no another boat. Hard to say. To the near Gavis, this is hard to find. Don't just wait, oh, I'll find another boat. But you may not find another boat. Who knows? So it's hard. Actually, it's hard to find. Oh. So there's no... So they use example, I'm not going to say that, they use example, but I'm not going to say that. Don't watch your tune, cheating, yeah, guys, this board is not that easy to find. You should not fool yourself. Oh, there'll be another board. Maybe there'll be no another board. Mombetis, you need my loss, you know, so then basically saying, like, don't just, you know, like, say, last night, what I said, life is precious. Fragile, unpredictable. So, we don't know. You don't know, I don't know. Maybe there are some people, probably they do know, but they're not, we don't know how much time we got on this earth. We don't know. So don't make it, don't waste it. To make yourself miserable. We are all capable. We need guts. How you say in American? Guts. We need guts to change. So there's no trying to every day. That's the kind of practice I try to do at home. Walking around and trying to say some words, remind myself. So then whatever the practice that makes you happy, so reciting mantra, prayer, doing prostrations, so then whatever then you do. To help yourself. So like that, that's kind of meditation doesn't mean you have to sit down, you can walk around. Meditation is all happening here in the mind. And so you don't need to sit like chicken, you can just walk around at the same time thinking something positive, or so. Please, all my friends here, please, every day, trying to find something that you are grateful. Grateful. It's not that easy. It's not that difficult. Every day, trying to find something to be grateful. That's very important. Why is it important? Positive thought is very important. No matter how you develop them, reading books or saying prayers, please do. Or maybe looking at the trees, or looking at the flowers, or looking at the horses, or taking long walk in the wood. It is okay. It's okay. It's very okay. Long as you manage to develop something positive, that's very, very important. So that helps whole society. That helps your family. Have you, have whole communities, if somebody thinks something positive, there'll be less problems. So that guarantees. So as a Buddhist monk, what you do, as I mentioned before, so that you remember a lot of prayers by heart. So then you repeat them while you're walking around, you repeat them, and you think about, you reflect on what you're repeating. You reflect on the meanings. And that's how you become meditation, while you're walking and constantly reminding yourself. So that's very critical meditations. Life is precious. is fragile, unpredictable. Therefore, not because I'm Buddhist or I'm Christian, I'm this and that. No. Because of that, on top of that, we don't know how much time we got on this planet. We don't know. If you know, so then there's different things. We don't know. We have no clue how much time you got on this planet. Therefore, don't waste it. Make life more miserable. Oh, because samsara as a whole, life is already complicated. It's already complicated. Don't make it worse. Oh? So then, what kind of mindset that you are talking about to develop? Oh, now when you look at Shantideva's books, God, the Buddha, the Way of Life, there's tons of message how to do that. Oh. Mm. Shantideva suggests when you look at someone, whether you know that person or not, when you look at someone, look at that person honestly, sincerely, with loving kindness. Honestly, sincerely, not like something, some kind of diplomatic. Why? Why is important? You can gain so much. According to Buddhism, of course, enlightenment is the focus. Liberation, enlightenment, that's the focus. Not like that's the main focus. Liberation, enlightenment is the main focus. Niki, Sinjetanayas, when you look at someone, Changshi, Chabeshi, look at that person honestly, sincerely, with loving kindness. Teda, why? Why? Why I should do that? Because you, there's possibilities you could gain something. No? Patience, loving kindness, many good things you can gain, that's why. If you look at it with angry mind, what you gain? Nothing. Basically nothing, zero, nothing. So this kind of message will produce happiness, harmony within the society, within the nations, within the world. This kind of attitude. You don't need to become Buddhist. You can practice that. No, anybody can practice that. So that's good things. So if you have more people like that, even though there's no religion, I think that's okay. No need. Why need? No need. Everybody's kind. Then no need. So basically, as I said, need to improve our attitude, our way of thinking. So here so many good things happening about awareness about environment. So need to also now develop awareness about the nature of sufferings, nature of problems, how to deal with that. So and like racial discriminations, discrimination based on a belief, religious belief. These are all unnecessary things. It's very unnecessary, very unfortunate, very unnecessary. Everybody should focus on developing loving kindness, warm heart. Just forget about fighting with my belief is best, your belief is not that, blah, 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 blah. This is all just waste of time. Doesn't do anything good. Everybody should focus how to improve their mind to look at each other with sincere, honest, with loving kindness. That's what is lacking. That's what is needed. So that's what I'm trying to emphasize in the last probably 19 years here at the Kadamba Center. So, and I really sincerely, when I say I don't believe that whole world become Buddhist. I don't believe that. Practically, it's not going to happen. It's unrealistic thinking. It's not going to happen. So then, why? That's no. So So, what I'm hoping, according to His Holiness' message, you know, we are all capable to develop good heart. That's what I believe, yeah, of course. You know, so, you see, the friendship between animal and human, they develop elephant and people. Look at the size of the bodies. Amazing, it's kind of like, yeah, so when you see some kind of dead, it's kind of like cheers you out, because we, as a human, we don't get along. We are educated, we know how to write, how to read. We are so sophisticated, but animals, they have no school. Elephant, you know, that one, I think, so short clip, the lady who took an elephant in Thailand, this whole elephant, the way they run towards her, not based on religion, it's based on affections, loving kindness. Even animals, they don't argue. Animals don't, even don't argue. Even they don't care, you are Buddhist or not Buddhist. What they care, what they know, they, you care about them. That's what they know. Lions jumping on people, they don't know you are Christian or Buddhist. See, animals, you know, unbelievable. We as a human, we have this sophisticated brain. We read, we talk, and we read a lot, but here, very little here, very little down here. So, therefore, in all kind of problems occur, all kind of problems occur based on maybe fear, attachment, all rooted basically based on disturbing thought. It's not rooted on loving kindness. It's not rooted on loving kindness. It's rooted on something disturbing thought, driven by, caused by, you know, attachment, whatever. So that's what I'm saying. The last thing that we need is disturbing thought. So animal, different types of animal, that, you know, sheep, dog, all different kind of animals, they get along. How we as a human, we don't look that different, you know. So they look totally different, but they get along. They develop, you know, affections. We humans can definitely do. So that's why His Holiness said, you know, whenever he met people, he looked at them as one of the human being out of 6 billion human beings. He looked at them as a human being, not as, you know, something like China or professor, something. And he himself considers like symbol of Buddhist monk, one of the human beings out of 6 billion human beings. So that, you know, that's how everybody should, you know, like follow his example. Okay? Sorry, now time's almost finished, you know, so not, there's a lot of, there are a few number of questions I'll probably read. Amy coming next Sunday?
Next Sunday.
Yeah, so then all the questions goes to Amy. So I'll be relieved. Yeah. No need to save. Why you need to save? Maybe Amy will answer those. Amy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so next week, whenever Amy, the American nun, she's coming here, the wonderful teacher, so please, if you can, then join. Okay? Yeah, thank you.
In the Gold Prayer Book, 246, I will read the dedication prayer from Master Shanti Deva. So it's the back of the sheet that says Kadamba Center Prayers, if you have the white binder. Page 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy. By the mind weighed down by depression, May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free.
Just a couple of quick announcements. As Geshla mentioned, General Amy Miller will be here next weekend, starting Friday night at 7, all day Saturday, and then Sunday morning we'll have our usual Sunday morning, and then her workshop will continue Sunday afternoon, and she's going to be teaching on making friends with death. And we're all going there, so it's a good idea to figure out how to be friends with it, and she's going to be very skillful and helpful for us with that. Also, I want to mention that we have our dear friend Steve Hale here. He will be leading our newcomer welcome question and answer right after the teachings end, and so just if you'll meet with him in the back of the Gompa here, and we could use a couple of volunteers to help take down the water offering bowls, and we also will need volunteers for Venerable Amy's visit to help set up the Gompa and greet people and so forth, and I'll send out another email with a link to where to sign up for those volunteer positions. And here's Robbie.
Thank you. Just a very quick announcement. Last week when we talked about some changes on the board of directors, I didn't realize that our new president was sitting outside, so we didn't get to formally introduce her, but I'd like to introduce Sandy Carlson. If you could stand up, a lot of people know her. But she's president of the board of directors. She's going to be assisted by Rebecca Zuvich, so thank you, Sandy.
I'm Elise from Outreach, and this is February. What's important in February? Valentine's Day. There's hearts everywhere in candy form and pictures and everything, and it's a reminder to all of us to think about people around us with love. And here's an opportunity to revive our ongoing project, the Love Notes Project. In this, there's packages of 10 blank cards and instructions on how to write a simple note in each of these 10 cards that we will then deliver to people who get Meals on Wheels, people that are feeling alone and need to know that somebody thinks about them with a little bit of love and compassion. 10 cards, 10 minutes, reach 10 hearts. Just think of everything that Geshe-la has been saying today, that you think about that you have the power to bring hope and love and compassion to someone you don't even know, someone who really needs that. And when you recognize that you have that power, maybe that can help you not to feel all those negative things about yourself and realize that you have a lot of positive power. These are on a rack across from the shoes, and that's where you pick them up and return them. And if it runs out, we have more. So please think about doing this. Also, this is very good for children, for friends and family that you have that are stuck at home and really want to be able to do something to help others. Bring them a pack and bring it back for them too. Thank you.